Minister is asking for advice on entitlements for ex-MPs. Tama Potaka is with us now. Hey, Tama, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, e te tohunga o te ao papau.
That could be overstating things, but I do thank you. Hey, I was just talking with lung cancer and Māori, and of course, 1,800 lives each year. There's talk of a screening program to get early detection of lung cancer. And I wondered if you'd given this any thought, because obviously it's not a Māori-focused intervention, because it's a needs-focused intervention, but Māori just happened to have the worst stats for lung cancer. Are you familiar with the push to get early screening and try and identify this situation early, Tama?
I'm not aware of the details around lung screening. What I am aware of...
Kia ora, guys. Well, we're going back to old routines, but at least we can get the message through from our guests who deserve the best we can do. Compromised phone system, it would seem, today. But Tama's with us still, because I've got my old shooter here right on the microphone. Hey, Tama, tēnā koe.
Hey, kia ora. We're just talking about screening for cancer. It's important, no matter what government is in administration, that we have effective screening across all communities, but particularly those that are predisposed towards cancer, whether or not by circumstance, situation or whakapapa. Actually, some whānau are predisposed towards certain types of cancer because of their genetics and their whakapapa.
Yeah, well, as I was saying, I know that the coalition doesn't like to target money specifically to Māori, saying that all decisions should be based on need. Well, quite obviously, Māori have a higher need in this regard for whatever reason. Perhaps it's an issue of colonisation. We've got lessening smoking rates, so that's encouraging. We've got vapes, and we don't know quite how that's going to play out too, and lung issues in the future. But would you support the funding of lung cancer screening, even based on need, which would affect many Māori who find themselves caught up in that situation, Tama?
Well, I definitely support targeted funding where there are cohorts in our communities that are predisposed or have huge exposure to killer diseases, like, for example, diabetes, some form of diabetes. A lot of South Indian communities have a higher exposure to that or have a higher incidence. So getting out appropriate delivery and appropriate engagement with those communities that have disproportionate statistics in this space, I think, is an absolute necessity in order to raise awareness and to encourage action to be taken. So some of our communities, as I've described, have a higher incidence rate around heart disease or around diabetes or around some forms of cancer, and getting the word out, communication and action out across those communities in an effective way is something we should always consider.
Tēnā koe, I haven't heard any policies of that type, though, as we lead up to the election. Perhaps it's a cope-up you could raise with Simeon as the Minister of Health.
Raise that. And I think Simeon's quite aware, too, that there are some very massive disproportionate arrangements around health. For example, the under 2-year-old immunisation rates, which we've talked about before when Billinghurst was in office, 89-90% 92-year-olds immunised, went below 65 when we came in office. Now it's crept up a little bit, but we need to get our kids immunised, 2 years old.
Tēnā koe, Tama. Thanks so much. Meanwhile, we've had quite a few discussions about the move-on orders. Now, some say that the police already have significant powers here, and I will talk about field days too, Tama, because I think that warrants a bit of a conversation. Let's talk about the homelessness issue. Some believing it's more a publicity stunt, publicity stunt, because the police already have significant powers to get people to move from where they are, causing offence and the like. How do you respond to that sort of criticism?
Well, first, there are a number of people that have got pretty confronting housing deprivation. A lot of Māori who have some serious challenges with being in a home and being in a community. There's no doubt about that. We've taken some action to support a range of initiatives around housing. For example, this morning, right now, I'm on my way to Tite Bay, where Ngāti Toa have built 10 houses as part of the budget, 1,500 social homes. And they've been very instrumental in building homes and housing people in a homeless situation, but also in a housing deprived situation down here in Porirua and in Wellington. So there is significant work going on, particularly with charitable and Māori organisations to build homes for people who are seriously deprived. In addition to that, there's a lot of mahi going on by people like Barbara Brown and Kahui Tūkaha, people like Sharon down at Strive, and of course the Auckland City Mission in Auckland, to make sure that we've got the right type of support for the right location and the right topology for those in need. So there's no doubt that there are government, charitable and other organisations that are spending an enormous amount of resource and time trying to support people in housing need. And we continue to do that. We're trying to make sure that it's focused and targeted and we don't end up in the moral and social disaster that we had before with literally thousands of kids in motels.
Yeah, I can understand that. What about the Māori wardens who you have oversight of ministerially?
Yes.
And how were they factored in, utilising their abilities? That, I mean, they're not the police. They've probably got a better relationship with those who are sleeping rough, or streeties, as they know, as they're known, than the police. Were they factored in to a solution to what's considered a blight on our shopping precincts, having people laying around in doorways?
Well, first of all, the move on orders have been subject to a cabinet policy decision, but it's still got to go through the relevant legislative and democratic process. The second thing is that police, Māori wardens and others have some current practices and protocols where they try to engage people in a difficult space, whether or not it's homeless or perhaps with mental health and other challenges, with the right type of social support and housing support. So the move on orders aren't focused primarily on people who are down and out, homeless and not causing harm. It's really focused on those people who are causing harm on the streets and in our communities. I expect that the police and others like the Māori wardens will refine their protocols and engage effectively with different providers, some of them social service providers, some of them housing providers, to make sure that people with those sorts of needs that are on the street and may be causing harm are supported.
Tēnā koe. We know that the Coalition to End Women's Homelessness reveals that, well, they're saying 33,000 kids and young people in this country have severe housing deprivation, that there is also a growing elderly homeless problem. Can you talk to either of those situations, please?
I haven't read through the detail of the report from the Coalition to End Women's Homelessness, but there are a number of young people who are facing severe housing deprivation. That's why we're so enthusiastic in supporting people like Ngāti Tuarangatira, like Emerge and like others to build housing and to build communities. There's a lot of work going into Māori housing, as you know, taken over from Pēni Henare and others, the Honourable Pēni Henare. This government has committed to nearly 1,000 homes with Māori housing providers to put on affordable rental properties and to make sure that the rents are affordable. Homelessness across elderly, it's a known dynamic, and it's something that we're very acutely aware of, and we need to make sure that we've got the right mix of social housing and Māori housing that's often one or two bedroom rather than the current stock, which is more three and four bedroom. So there's a range of steps that we're taking to confront and respond to some of the homelessness and severe housing deprivation that we have.
Tēnā koe. A couple of things. Dame Jenny Shipley, now the new chair of the Waitangi National Trust, Hauho Whakaro.
Oh, it's wonderful. Great to see the former Prime Minister take over the reins as the chair. And of course, Tania Simpson before has done a marvellous job over the last 12 months. There's some big opportunities at Waitangi, and certainly I always contemplate whether or not we'll get a two or four lane bridge just across the lagoon there.
Well, as long as the kids can still jump off it.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just kids.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I've been out there doing my staples and monies.
Okay, I haven't seen them on film, but it might be in your reel. We'll find it on Facebook. Field days. And Māori involvement in agribusiness, I did speak with the winners of the Ahu Whenua Trophy, encouraging stuff out of the kiwi fruit market. What took you Māori from field days? Was there much to excite?
Well, I was really focused on making field days Māori again and making field days brown again, getting more Māori businesses, more Māori attendees to field days. And it was a raging success for those Māori businesses that set themselves up at stalls within the rural indoor marquee, plus also the business luncheon that we had with a variety of diplomats, Māori businesses and others, where I announced support for three Māori businesses, being Hine Uru, PKW Incorporation and Akaroa King Salmon, who are across cherry orchards, energy infrastructure and aquaculture. Minister McClay and I also announced support for the Te Arawa Primary Partnership Group, who are doing some marvellous work under the auspices of Dr. Tāneta Kingi to look at land use and land use change in the Te Arawa Rohe. I found that the field days is an opportunity for Māori agribusiness to showcase the brilliance of our farmers and primary sector governors and managers, and I look forward to next year.
Tēnā koe. And just finally, you say that you're off to the opening of 10 more whare. How important is this, that our iwi, many post-settlement iwi in particular, are getting involved in housing construction? And this is a snapshot of what appears to be happening right across the country. Give us an overview of where you think our iwi are when it comes to building whare for our own, please.
Iwi and Māori organisations have taken a step into building houses. Some are doing very well, are very effective builders and very effective community developers, sometimes wrapped around with social service support. Some are challenged, whether or not it's because of the infrastructure or the funding and financing or the sheer location of some of the aspirations to build houses. Really acknowledge people like Willy Teaho down at Tuatū Tai Rāwhiti and Helmut Modlik here in Ngāti Tuarangatira. The folks down at Ngāti Hauā, Waharoa, who are doing a marvellous job building 35 houses down at Cadman Road down at Waharoa. I see this as an opportunity for our iwi, our Māori organisations, to rebuild our communities and to also employ and hire people and to engage with small, medium enterprise.
Good, catching up with you again. We'll look forward to more kōrero coming up as well. Thank you, Tama. And my apologies, I've cut him off rather than having him join us to say farewell. You might give him a ring for me, please. Rangi, didn't mean to do that.